Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
I got a picture I want to show you. It's a jersey. I want you to see if you can tell the difference between official player and the guy that bought the shirt, right? Two different guys. One dude's actually on the team. He didn't buy the jersey. They provided the jersey and they even paid him. The other guy bought the jersey and he knows a lot about the game, but he's not playing the game. Can I get an amen on that right there? So, you know, I want to talk to you today about getting in the game as far as using your life and your gifts and talents to help people. Actually, bring him up real quick. I want to just do that real quick. MJ, this is my grandson who just said amen, who is being escorted out. And I'll show him to you. This is baby Bishop, the one that I love. Look at that dude right there. He loves his... Hey, say hello to the people. Say, God bless you, St. Louis. I'm born in Palm Beach, Florida. I like 78 degrees, and 5 degrees doesn't work for me. Give it up one more time for the Reverend. Come on, you can do better than that. My gosh, he's a little bitty dude. Get in the game. Everybody shout, get in the game. By the way, grandkids are your reward for not killing your kids. Did you know that? So there's a difference between official players and people that know all about it. In fact, Antoine Bolin, NFL legend, is at the church today in Royal Palm. He serves there every weekend. And he played professional ball. A lot of our church members, you know, whether that's, you know, Jim Edmonds or whoever, baseball, football. There's a difference between people who really get in the game, actually make the touchdown, actually make progress, and the people who pretend. And so I want you this weekend at all of our campuses to get in the game of the local church. The local church is the heartbeat of God. It's where lives are changed. And I have a question for you. How many would say at all campuses today that this church has greatly helped your life? I just want to see it. It's like, man, it's really helped me in the work. So how the church happened was that basically, just real quick, serving when my dad was a cop. And then he went into ministry and he started a church over here in a place called Schuler's Hall. It's a beer hall down below what now is the Exist Fit in South County. And every Sunday morning at 5 a.m., our family would wake up and we'd have to go clean up all the tables. That's the way we had to use it. If we cleaned up all the beer tables, we have on these rollers, they're like 50-gallon drums, and we take all the extra beer and pour it in there. And there was condoms laying everywhere. It was just a whole wild, crazy party. And every Sunday morning, that's what we did. We set up, tear down, set up, tear down. Then the people would come to church, and we would do that. So then now, all these years later, since 1980, we're sitting on the foundation of families who said, I'm not going to sit on the sidelines or the bench. I'm going to use my gifts and talents to actually move the ball down the field, make a touchdown. And now your life, come on, somebody give God praise today, is being impacted because of somebody else's life. So I want to talk to you about your gifts and talents. And there's a passage that really brings it to light in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. So you have spiritual gifts. Gifts or talents God gave you. These are diversities, or we could say there's a difference of gifts, but the same Spirit. Every time you see the big S, capital S, that means Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit that's using these gifts. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works in all. But it's the manifestation of the Spirit given to each one to profit with all. For to one is given the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. To another, the spirit of the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith, the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healings of the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. But it is the same Spirit that works all these things, distributing individually as he wills. So in other words, if you think about it like a football team today, here we are on Super Bowl Sunday, we've got professional players with a professional coach. And the professional coach says, you are, you know, a quarterback. You are a running back. They can't all play the same parts. Other people have different skill sets. And then whoever wins the game today, I don't know, because I'm really in a bad spot because I have churches in Florida and Missouri, and it's Missouri and Florida. Come on, help a brother out. So what is going to happen at the end, they're going to get a Super Bowl ring. And it's not like that both teams get it. Only the winning team gets it, but they were actually playing their position. So the local church is much like that. The local church, capital C church, is under attack globally. There is an antichrist spirit at work, and we've been talking about it. The world, the spirit of the world, and then the spirit of the word. We've been talking about the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. We've been talking about the kingdom of heaven, that's where God lives, and then the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things and being right. So at the NFL, which I think stands for not for long, can I get an amen? So Aeneas Williams, Hall of Famer, is one of my best friends, pastors a church here now, and he taught me that, not for long. You don't play for long, but if you play well, then you don't have to play for long because you make a lot of money. Can I get an amen? So in this official position that they play their position and their talent, they actually do great things and become champions. When you and I use our gifts and talents for Jesus, we're actually taking those gifts and talents and we're presenting those before God, and it's making a difference in people's lives. We're not just winning a Super Bowl ring. We're actually winning a prize that comes from God someday when we get to heaven. How many of y'all raise your hand if you want to go to heaven? So when you get to heaven, God's going to say one of two things to you. There's not a multiple options. It says he's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. How many of y'all hope that? By the way, that's the way I like my steaks. Come on, well done, right? So, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Or he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You don't want to hear that one. So a worker of iniquity is a person who used wickedness, or they did what they wanted to do with their gifts. We saw this exemplified with Jesus. I mean, the ultimate team player. Jesus comes down the staircase of heaven, is born of a virgin birth, and he dies on the cross, and he said, not my will, but thy will be done. In other words, he said, I'm going to use my gifts and talents, and I'm going to play the position that only I could play. Because we owed a debt we couldn't pay, and he paid a debt he didn't owe. But thank God, he said, I'm actually going to do what I need to do for the local church. So now we are the body of Christ, and our job is to do whatever necessary. If it was cleaning beer off of a beer hall, if it was doing all the things that we did for years and years as a family, it actually launched us into the league that we are today, where the church is more necessary than ever. The church is more needed than ever. The church is more essential than ever. The church is more powerful than ever. We are about the local church. Give God praise at all our campuses today. We got to get in the game, and we got to use our gifts and talents, because really, it's not really a game. This is life or death for many people. I met a woman in this very building about a year ago, actually. I'll never forget it, because she looked kind of, you know, some people look a little crazy in the eyes, right? She's like, oh, thank God I came here today, because I was going to go home today and kill my husband. And she opened her, you know, purse up, and there was a gun. And she said, I was going to go kill him. So you can either believe that or not believe it, but I could kind of tell by her eye, and I've watched enough of, you know, TV to think, I think she's one of those people. Come on, help me right now. So that guy didn't know that his life was saved by his wife coming here. I'm here to tell you that every week, people's lives here in Palm Beach County, their lives are being changed. They're going from, hey, I'm going to kill, steal, and to destroy, to, you know what? My life is not my own. I'm born with a purpose. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God has a call on my life, and I'm going to do what God called me to do. Can I get an amen on that? So this isn't a game. This is a war. I'm going to say some things that aren't, you know, people say, well, I don't know about saying that. I was really excited because just a few days ago on the fifth day of this last week, the Supreme Court actually said that California was being unconstitutional to tell people they couldn't go to church. So give it up for the Supreme Court saying we have the right to assemble. I know some people right now say, well, Pastor David, you know, they're just looking out for our safety and so on. You got to be careful about that, because you never want the freedom of speech, freedom of choice to be taken away, because one day you might choose something that you want to choose and somebody tells you that you can't choose it. So we want to make sure that if we have a dream, we can fulfill the dream. If we live in a country that fought for free speech, we should be able to freely speak, because if you're not free to speak, you're not free to think. And if you're not free to think, you're not really free at all. And some of you may or may not agree with that, and my apologies to you, but I've got to preach the truth. So thank God for that. But my point is that we're in a war. Now, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. So it's not against a governor. It's not against a senator. It's against an anti-Christ spirit. I often say that I'm anti not eating in bed. I like to eat in bed. People are like, don't eat before bed. I agree. Eat in bed. It's awesome. I'm anti low fat sugar, you know, cookies. There's things I'm anti. That's all this is that people that are anti-Christ. And there's a lot of confusion in the world right now because people have not endured sound doctrine and because oftentimes the church has not been viable. It hasn't been relevant. It hasn't been cool. So people didn't want to go to church and grow in church. So therefore, their minds have been manipulated by a gospel that isn't a gospel at all. There aren't many ways to heaven. I love all people, but Jesus didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Does that make sense right now? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish and have everlasting life. So we should love all people, and we should embrace all people, and we should pray for all people. But at the same time, it's a non-negotiable to fight for what God fights for. There's a story in the Bible about a guy playing his position. He was serving in the church. His name was David. And David came up against Goliath, and he didn't come up alone against Goliath. He went out to bring his family food. In other words, he must have been an Uber driver, you know, Uber Eats, right? So his family's hungry. They order Uber Eats. Here comes David. David comes out and he sees this giant that is anti the church, hurling accusations against the church. And David didn't go up and said, hey, you know what, God, would you please quit talking that way to my family? You know, don't say those things about my mama. These are actually good people. Can't we all just get along? I mean, the devil actually needed to be silenced, and he was silenced through a man who was anointed. And he said, you come at me with spear and a sword, but I come to you. Now, he's scared doing it. I feel it right now. He said, you come to me with spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. He said, today I will feed your uncircumcised or your non-covenant or your non-Christian soul to the fowls of the air. And he picked up five smooth stones which represent the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, the pastor. And he released one of those, and like a heat-seeking missile, it hit that anti-Christ spirit in the head, and it fell face forward, and the church was victorious. And I promise you that the church is going to be victorious again. The church is going to rise in revival again. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Can I get an amen? But I'm saying now is the time to get off the grandstands, to get off the sidelines. Don't just put on the jersey, but work out and get in the game. Everybody shout, get in the game. Serving. Here's some things that serving does. Serving, as we just saw in 1 Corinthians 12, it develops and discovers your spiritual gifts. One of my gifts is the gift to communicate. This is one of the things that I did. I remember I was doing good. I went through a divorce and married Nicole. She wanted me to be her baby daddy. She had a 7-year-old boy. I was financially stable and good. She was stable and good. She made a lot of money. I made a lot of money, and we lived an incredible lifestyle. I was walking past our gates that looked like Buckingham Palace and this huge house and a barn as big as this full of cars and horses. And I heard the Lord say, someday you'll look back and regret this. I want you to sell everything you own if necessary and give it away if you can't sell it. And I want you to go into Sunset Hills, buy a house, live in a subdivision, and start a church. And that's how Faith Church was started 17 years ago. One word from God. And it wasn't that God was against me having stuff. He just knew that he had blessed me. But the reason he had blessed me is so that I could help fund and bring provision for the vision that he had for my life. So I don't preach back by the Assemblies of God. They don't want me. The Catholics don't want me. The Baptists don't want me. So I'm not funded by any of their rules or religious ideologies. I'm actually funded by God Almighty. And that's why I'm actually free to show you slides that I did today to help you become who God has called you to become and to help us defeat the devil right in the midst of all the pandemic that is going on right now. Because I know at the end, Jesus is coming back after a glorious, spotless church. Can I get an amen like right there? You agree with that? So when you discover your gift, mine was, he said, hey, you're going to regret this. I want you to use your humorous way to talk to people. And we did, and we built a great church. The second thing it does, serving allows you to experience miracles. Remember the story in John chapter 2 when they ran out of wine, which is a luxury item, at the wedding. Jesus' mother comes up and says, I want you to make more wine at the wedding. And he says, woman. How many of y'all know that's not a nice thing to say to your mother? He said, woman. Everybody shout that with me on all campus. Woman. He said, woman, what's this got to do with me? In other words, that ain't my problem. That's a whole lot of not my business. But she coerced him to do it, and he turns water into wine. But the people who experienced the miracles were the servers. They were actually
filling the pots full of water. And as they were walking to bring it to the guest, it's still water. Oh, it's water, it's water, it's water. And then all of a sudden, water turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's a miracle. Oh my God, so what happened? I've experienced the greatest miracles of my life. Not being on the sidelines, but being an official player and actually taking that ball and throwing it through that, come on, somebody help me right now, that goal every week. And I want you to join me in using your gifts and talents to help other people who are far from God discover their purpose and make a difference and enjoy their life. That's the second thing it does. The third thing it does is serving allows us to experience joy and peace. There's something peaceful about it. At the end of the day, when you're doing what God calls you to do, you'll be like, at least I did that. Right now, the sermons that I'm preaching are very unpopular with a lot of people because in the divided states of America right now, there's also a divided church. A lot of spiritually illiterate people who don't really know the Bible, so therefore they're making it off of their ideas or their concepts or what they've been programmed to think. Yep. And again, I want you to think however you want to think, but I want you to have the freedom to think, not thinking because a few people told you to think that way. When I grew up, there were three channels, ABC, CBS, and NBC. And remember when there was three channels and in the middle of the night, it went off. Anybody old enough to remember this? Kids, for real, this is really, it's been so long I forgot about it, but it really did. Like at 2 a.m., whether you liked it or not, after Three Stooges was over, you were going to get this thing and it came up and said, oh, say can you, and you're like, I'm not ready to go to bed. Turn to the next channel, by the dawn's early, oh crap, and the rocket's right. And then it went to color bars and you weren't seeing anything till Tom and Jerry at about 7. Come on, help me right now, right? Remember this? Okay, so back in the day, we only had those three forms of program. Now we have 50 quazillion stations, right? But now there are three forms of media called social media that is actually where we get our information from. And the issue with that is, and that's all I'm going to say about that, but the issue with that is it constricts you from being who you are. So I'm not here to put down anybody. I'm just saying that if you're going to enjoy your life, you have to do it under the obedience of Christ and realize that you need to know way more about Jesus than you do the world. And you need to know more about Jesus' book from Revelations, from Genesis to Revelations, to find out what he has promised you. And if you do what he has promised in the book, your life turns out well. In other words, you're playing by the official guidelines of the rules. And so then you're actually able to win the Super Bowl. And this that we're playing for, it's not a Super Bowl ring. It's actually a promise that comes from God that someday your name, along with hopefully a lot of other people, would be in the official Lamb's Book of Life, where heaven would be their home. And not just when Jesus comes back, I believe he's coming back, but maybe you're going to go before he comes back. So here's what my word is to you today. Get off the sidelines, get in the game, be at church, serve at church, pray for the church, defend the church, because someday the church that you don't defend and serve might not be here anymore. For real. I know it's kind of heavy. You're like, man, it was 20 degrees and I came to church to hear that. It's not very uplifting. It is what it is, Shaquita. I'm sorry. 1 Peter 4, verse 8, it says, and above all things, be fervent in love one for another. Love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable one to another without grumbling. Check this out, verse 10. And as each one has received a gift, you have a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So you have a gift. Everybody shout it. I have a gift. So whatever position you're supposed to play on the field, when the coach, the Holy Spirit, tells you the position you're supposed to play, you don't need to argue with that. It's like, no, really, I don't feel like doing that today. You know, I just really have my knees hurting. I really don't think. You know what I'd rather do? No, it's not a rather. It's like, no, we hired you to play this position. God has commissioned us at this point. He could have had Martin Luther King here. He's an incredible, legendary leader, but he didn't. He could have had Mother Teresa here, but she's not here right now. Billy Graham could be here, but he's not. Amy Lee Semple, McPherson, Esther, Mordecai, all these different people could be here, but God chose you, and he's expecting you to rise up and be the church, defend the church, go to church, grow the church, support the church, love the church, because the church, I promise you, is the heartbeat of the world. I know I've been saying this quite a bit lately, but I just have to ask, because I'm surprised sometimes that people don't think this is true. How many of y'all really believe there is a devil? A literal devil. How many of y'all believe, some people, okay. And it's fine. You just don't know yet. Like, I met his brother. Come on, someone out there. I was married to his sister. Can I get an amen? No. But for real. But then, how many of y'all believe there really is a literal place called hell? Okay, for real. How many of y'all believe there's a literal place called heaven? And there's literal angels that are there. Okay, so there's a prince of the power of the air. This sounds so wacky if you're just watching me on YouTube. It's like, oh my gosh, what a whack job. But these are real. And the enemy deceives people. And one of the ways he does it is through media. And he controls people's minds with media. And again, I'm not against media. I've spent millions of dollars preaching the gospel on media. But the enemy is trying to program people and trying to pit each one of you towards each other. Because when I just preached at Earth City a minute ago, and I'm going to go back there to 12:30 service, it's a rowdy crowd, and it's, from what I'm told, it's the biggest African-American church in St. Louis. When I go there, there will be black people sitting next to white people, and white people married to black people, and they're not pitted against each other. They love each other. And it's not just about the church. When I go to Starbucks, I see black people talking to white people. And I go to Target, where everybody's at, and Costco, and I see that. Am I saying racism is not real? No, it is absolutely real, but the enemy is trying to gaslight you and try to make us see the differences instead of saying, you were fearfully and wonderfully made, and just because the pigmentation of your skin is slightly different than mine, it doesn't mean that you're not smarter than me, because I know a lot of people, including Ben Carson, who is smarter than me. He separated Siamese twins, and I can't get my DVD to quit. Somebody ought to help me right now. So this isn't about black or white. This is a devil of division trying to separate the church. So here's my point. The church is under attack. Again, I want to yell it again. Be at church. Support the church. Even if you don't like the church, just support it for freedom. Right? Use it or lose it. Last thing I want to say is serving makes us more like Jesus. Matthew 25, verse 40. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you've done it for one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. When you come in here and say you serve at the front door, woman comes in with a little kid, maybe two little kids, no dad. And then if you were to see and hear the stories that I hear, that, well, you didn't know that the dad actually beats the kids, or the little girl is being molested by the dad. And then our dream teamers make those people feel welcome. And then they go over to Faith Kids and they're taught, no matter what the enemy does, you're going to rise up. You're a champion. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God loves you. He's proud of you. Then their self-esteem starts coming up. That's when you're most like Jesus. And that's what we need to do with our lives. And I got a feeling that if you heard the stories that I heard and you actually saw the people, you would know, oh my gosh, I didn't know it was all about that. But you're seeing people with their mask on. Not this one, but this one. I'm okay. And they're not okay. We say, well, how can I fix that? I don't know what your talent is. I don't know what your gift is. I don't have a lot of gifts. But the one gift that I do have is my breath. And I know I'm not doing it all right now. It's the toughest time I've been preaching my whole life. And I've never led through this kind of mess. This is unbelievable. But while I'm leading through this, all I can do is do my best. And so I can't just be silenced and shut up. I'm going to do some stuff that's wrong. I'm going to do some stuff that's right. But I want to surround myself with the church and say, let's win St. Louis at least. Let's pray for the lost at least. Let's go after the suicidal and the drug addict. Let's just call them in up the highways and byways. And let's love the hell out of people until they realize who they are, what they have, and what they're called to do. That's all we can do. I'm almost done. I got 4 minutes and 42 seconds. I want to plan on using all of them. Fifth thing it does is serving surrounds you with Christians. Didn't it help you follow Jesus better? I was on a yacht last Saturday night with $120 million yacht with about 14 billionaires. And I don't say that to impress you. I'm just kind of putting you in my world. It's kind of amazing when you get in those worlds, the people that run your country are those decision makers, and some good, some bad. But when I sit there and I have conversations with these guys and girls, you start discovering that there's a whole lot of people who thought that money would make them happy. And I know you've heard preachers say that forever, that money doesn't make you happy. And I want to tell you that money can definitely help you look for happiness. but it will not fill the hole in your soul. Now, I've seen some people who have both, and that's great. But I want you not to get caught up in the race to where you're thinking that the answer is, if I can get this, I'll be happy. When in reality, if we want to be more like Jesus, the point is you need to be around other Christ followers who say, hey, the only way that you're actually going to fill the hole in your soul is do what God called you to do. And when you're doing what God called you to do, then it doesn't matter what other people do. You know, at least I know I did what the Lord called me to do. Even when I'm preaching right now, it's like, sometimes they clap, sometimes they boo. Sometimes they leave the church. Sometimes it's unbelievable. So I had to quit worrying about the popularity or the applause of men. And I had to say, is this really what I believe? And then if this is really what I believe, then I actually got to step out there and preach it, in hopefully a loving way, without looking ticked off or crazy, which is very difficult for me because a lot of times I'm a little crazy and half ticked off. Can I get an amen? Hebrews 10 verse 24 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25 says, do not forsake the assemblings of yourself together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, in as much as long as you see the evil day approaching. So right now, it's like when you get, you know, a gift or something as a kid, it's like a million pieces. It says some assembly is required. I would say that some assembly is required. And the minimal amount of assembly, I think, really is when the church doors are open on a Sunday or Tuesday. If you think about this, you're getting like a 30-minute sermon. I'm 2 minutes and 20 seconds away from your 30-minute diet, right? So during the 30 minutes, some of you guys went to Walmart for a minute. Other people thought, I don't know if that's right or not. You didn't even grab all that information. Now, for the next, you know, rest of the day, you got 24 hours. So really 23 hours and 30 minutes, you have other things feeding your brain, not me. Then every once in a while, it's like, Super Bowl Sunday, I don't need to go because I need to go to Costco and make sure I get my bean dip and all that stuff. So, I mean, I can't do that. But then I'll catch him next week or I'll watch it online. But I'm going to actually pay bills while I'm watching online. And I'm all for online. But what you got to be careful of, what I watch happen is like, I won't go to the gym today. And then I start eating bad. Anybody like me? And if you don't go to the gym, you eat bad. Some of you are unfamiliar. So if you eat bad, you tend to not go to the gym. But then all of a sudden, have you ever done good for like a week and you're like eating good, meal planning, and working out, and now you're judgmental. You're like, look at that slob. Come on, raise your hand, liar. If you don't raise your hand, I'm assuming you've never participated in any of these games, right? So we get real judgmental. So we don't want to be that. We want to be loving. We want to be kind. We want to be gracious, but we want to be evangelistic. That means to serve one, work one, worship one. So you come to the early one so you can maybe work one, and then you come to the next one so you can worship God. Well, that's too much. Well, tell that to Jesus when you get up to heaven, who died, crucified, and led his whole life for you, and it was too much. Stand up with me. There's a text number I wanted to put up, and if you're comfortable, grab your phone. You can either text that number now, or if you're more comfortable, you can just, you know, zoom in with your little phone, and you can just take a picture and go, hey, PD, I just want to think about it. I mean, I feel like maybe I was in a sales pitch. I want to see how I feel in an hour. Okay, whatever. Text it or take a picture. But what I'm asking you to do is to do what I did 17 years ago when my dad died. And I thought, I don't want to do what he did with his life. Why do you want to do that? It's the last thing on my list. And then I could just feel God calling me to start this church that you said a while ago helped you. And I can only think that God would have picked somebody else to help you, but I sure am glad he chose me to help you. And I want you to help me help people because the church is under attack in the United States of America. Just like now, if you were to say the name of that disease on your social media, just try it today. Just put it on your Instagram and say the word or text the word of the name of that disease, and it'll pop up and flag something on the bottom that dings you as well as reduces the exposure of the algorithm to your friends who really want to follow you, but they can't because they suppress you. Mark my words. I told our team that was going to happen way before it happened. And again, it wasn't even all prophetic. It's just the dinners that I have with the people that do all this stuff. Is something. So at any rate, just know that there's a day coming whenever you say anything about being a Christian or the name of Jesus, that same thing will flag up. And you'll be kicked off, just like our women's ministry, I Am Woman page, was kicked off today. And so they're coming after the church. We're being put on a, you hear it on the news, it says domestic terrorist. So I'm your pastor. Raise your hand if you think I'm your pastor. Well, guess what? I just found out y'all are listening to a domestic terrorist. So we've been marked. But we've been marked for the gift. When I think about Apostle Paul and what he went through in stone, when I think about Stephen, when I think about all the great people that are in heaven today who died for the gospel, or I think about, you know, Paul and Silas in jail preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm fine with that. I don't want to go. Hopefully I won't be there long. But I do want to go on a record to say, you know what? If being a domestic terrorist means that I preach Jesus and you call me that, call me what you want to call me. But I want to do what God called me to do. In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody shout amen.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church Podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.